Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. The sun's shining here in London, and I start every show talking about the weather because I'm very violently British. Spent a little time over the past few days just in my little... in my little cave doing editing and that. So I've not really seen much sunshine, so I'm looking forward to having a stroll around later on, maybe pick up some bits and bobs.
Wonderful, wonderful. I've been out in the sun. I've been, As I mentioned, I got the 6K camera and I finally got some time to use it while I'm here in Yamagata. I'm not actually in my apartment today. I'm in a little hotel room, hunched over a Boss coffee with a nice window view. And I went out into the sun and I tried to get some footage from the 6K camera. And so after this, I'll be reviewing it and seeing if it's good or not and working out what to do with it. But it's very exciting to finally have a camera that's good. And in fact, Pete, you are the first person to ever see an Abroad Japan video in 4K today. Isn't that right?
You sent me a little sneak preview. So by the time this goes up, I mean, presumably the video will be up. Either way, check out the Abroad Japan channel because you've got a wonderful, wonderful little thing about bad translation and how to figure out what's gone wrong in some poor translation. Something that I can never figure out what's gone wrong and how weird the word order is. Because in Britain, in English, the word order is completely different to most places in the world. And to figure it out, it really demands a lot of your time and a lot of forensic study of the sentence in front of you. And then it only gets more difficult as the sentences get more complicated.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, for the topic of the video for listeners is, what is it, Pete? I've forgotten my own video. It's coming out today.
Oh, it's a new one.
I'm still working out the title, to be honest. I think it's going to be something like why translating Japanese is so difficult or something. But I went to Ryotaro's restaurant a few weeks ago. He has a restaurant. And it's a little... I'll have to take you next time you're over. It's a kind of a cafe in the outskirts of Sendai. And it's a really nice, traditional old building. But before I got there, I went on Google to try and find it. And I went on some reviews. And the reviews were really weird. Like, Japanese reviews on Google get automatically translated into English, right? If you're an English user of Google. And like the first review was, I went to the restaurant and the staff's face was very stylish. And I thought, wow, it's definitely not about Ryotaro. But that kind of led me down a rabbit hole of Google reviews. And there's just some really weird stuff. For example, in the video, the opening minute is just me reading out like 20 bloody reviews, and there's some really crazy ones. Like, I went to the ramen shop and ate puppy ramen for 500 yen on pork bone day. That's one of the ones off the top of my head. And so I kind of reverse engineered it in the video and tried to understand why these English reviews had, why these translations had gone so spectacularly wrong. And it's quite interesting. But the main reason, spoilers, is that in Japanese, you don't use the subject, right? You wouldn't say you don't need to say I or he or she. Mm. You can drop the subject. It's a context-based language. And so what that means is Google, when it's translating Japanese, has to try and decide who the subject is, like who people, who the reviewer is talking about, has to kind of fill in the gaps with pronouns. And it gets it wrong in a spectacular fashion, as you saw in the video. But how was the 4K experience, Pete? Did you like 4K?
It was good. I mean, first things first, I always use the royal we, like the queen. So what's we in, is it watashitachi?
Watashitachi.
Is it?
Yeah,
watashitachi. So I'm very much the watashitachi man of Japan. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. You gave me like a high, full fat high res version of it. And it was very enjoyable to, see every last pore on your face, sunshine.
Oh God.
Never get spots again.
Oh God, it was quite weird looking back at it. It's weird when you film on a new camera and then you go back and look at your previous camera and the footage and it just looks crap.
Yeah, well, you've also got a new computer as well with a big screen because you have edited everything on the Bronze Band channel for the last 2 years on a little wee laptop, and now you're on a big screen. You're kind of just, you're noticing things. You're noticing more things, aren't you?
It's creepy. Like, yeah, I've gone from a 15-inch laptop to a 27-inch iMac. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it can bloody render it now in 4K for the first time ever, which is hugely exciting. So, yeah.
Without burning down.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be good, though. And I hope you guys enjoy it. So check it out on the Abroad Japan channel. And also this week, the main reason I'm in Yamagata is it was Natsuki's birthday. He turns 47? 47, I think. Doesn't look it, does it?
He really doesn't, no. It's all a cigarette stopping him from growing grey hair.
Don't endorse smoking. Don't encourage him, Pete. God, but we did a live show, and it was a lot of fun. Like, he enjoys doing a live show because obviously when we make videos, usually it's just him and I in a field somewhere. And when you do a live show, he's kind of interacting with viewers and he loves it. So yeah, he enjoys live shows more than real normal videos, I think. So we'll be doing those more often. But it felt good to celebrate his birthday. And because I got his cake from 7-Eleven, they didn't have birthday cakes. So I got like a brownie and a strawberry cake and some other crap. And I just put it all together and made the world's worst cake. But I messed up by buying these candles, right? Obviously, you want to put some candles on the cake, celebrate the birthday, have him blow out the candles and whatnot. But the 7-Eleven, the only candles they had were candles of death. Candles you light to like signify the passing of a relative that you put on like a shrine.
No.
And I picked them up without really looking, and I brought them back to his shop, and we're about to light them, and he's like, oh my God, these are death candles, we can't use these. And so we didn't use them in the end. We didn't want to have that as an omen at the start of the live show.
You've done this before. Didn't you buy a death envelope for somebody, like a sorry someone's died envelope for somebody back in 7-Eleven at some point?
I did. I buy lots of death envelopes and death stationery at 7-Eleven. I bought I had to give one of my colleagues at work an envelope with some money in once, and I got like the wrong envelope that was like, sorry, your family's all dead or something. And it's not even like in a funny, jokey way. Like, they take that really seriously in Japan.
Yeah.
quite superstitious, quite spiritual. So be aware of that, ladies and gentlemen. Don't buy the death envelope. Don't buy the death candles, and you'll be in a lot better position than I am in my daily life in Japan. But it's weird.
Smashing
weird
stuff.
Part of the smashing. But a lot of you guys often ask us, a lot of you kind of sending questions asking what it's like coming to Japan with a beard. And I don't have a beard, or I've never had a beard that's good. And I think you've got a beard, haven't you, Pete, at the moment? Or is it moustache only?
I've got like a little goatee beard. I've got a goatee beard, and I've sort of grown out my moustache under lockdown. To such an extent, I can actually twirl it, get a little bit of moustache wax and sort of twirl it into a circle. I look like an artisanal baker or a hipster coffee man.
Or Colonel Sanders.
I guested on a mate's YouTube channel that basically features old adverts, and I was waxing lyrical about how Lottie Coolish need me as a figurehead. And I think I look very caricaturable. You know, you could turn me into a cartoon very, very easily. So, I reckon I could feature in a Japanese advert with a big tash. No,
is that a good strength?
No, if you're, I always sort of say, if you're eating some food that is easy to draw, you're not eating very good food. And if you've got a face that is easy to draw, you've not got a very good face. So there you go.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
But we got a message from Christian from Norway, and he has got a good face, I think. No, he has got a good face. He sent a photo. And yeah. Christian has a beard, and he has shared his story of his trip to Japan and how his beard kind of impacted his time in Japan. And the message reads, "Greetings, Shogun Chris and Lord Peter." Christian from Norway here. Shogun Chris and Lord Peter. Not sure which one I'd rather have. In one of your latest episodes, there was a question about beards and stories of bears, but I digress. And I wanted to share one of my stories with you. I've been to Japan plenty of times now, my first trip being in 2014 with my karate club. For context, I am 183 centimetres, 6 foot, fairly broad, no pun intended. We were staying in Ikebukuro at the Prince Hotel when I took the elevator down to the lobby to procure some delicious Nihonshu and Strong Zero for the seven guys travelling together. A small Japanese boy bustled around in the elevator, and when I entered, he ran right into me. First he bowed out of pure instinct, then he looked at what he had run into, and then suddenly upon him came fear. Shame, and the light of his mother's panic, he dropped his jaw and gave me the biggest round eyes I've ever seen. Fascination ruled apprehension, and the boy began to make gestures in his face and gestured distinctly, beard. His mother hushed and said, "Gomenasai, sorry," but the kid of perhaps 7 years old had a heart filled with curiosity-driven courage and came right up to me and pointed to my beard with one hand and gesturing with the other. I sat down on my haunches and he touched it gently with a finger. When I pulled on it, he did the same. Fascination was the key word for both of us, and his whole family watched on and smiled at the encounter. The boy almost had his full weight on my beard at one point, quite a party trick. When we all exited, there was much bowing and smiling, and the mother insisted on a picture. Keep up the excellent podcast, guys. Stay safe. Christian from Norway. Enclosed is a picture of Weird Al Yankovic pulling my shorter beard at a previous time, and he's attached a random photo of Weird Al Yankovic just pulling his beard
in front of some stormtroopers and a man in a Darth Vader suit, which is very interesting. I mean, what I would say about Weird Al is he's got a great head of hair for an older gentleman, and with that jawline, you'd probably think he'd probably do a lovely job on a beard as well. I think he'd look pretty good with a beard.
I'm just looking at Weird Al Yankovic's long spiral hair and thinking of the kid like dangling from it in the elevator. Yes. That kid really went to town, didn't he?
Yeah, Christian from Norway. Good looking chap, great beard. Fantastic work, Christian. But what an adorable little moment in a lift. You probably wouldn't get away with it nowadays because the corona and stuff. But I'm glad that happened, Christian. That warms my heart on a lovely warm Wednesday morning.
It's a heartwarming story, although if it wasn't Christian, I think it could have gone spectacularly badly. I know a lot of, I've got a certain friend who has a beard and he's very grumpy, and I just picture like a Japanese kid like grabbing onto his beard and him losing his temper and throwing the kid. But you never know. If you come to Japan with a beard, don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, you will be all right. You'll have kids dangling from it, having a whale of a time. So it's a good
people won't know you've got it with your mask on, I would say.
Exactly.
people would not know, because I've got a goatee beard and a moustache. I can't grow anything on the sides, which is annoying. I can't grow sideburns or anything. Aww. I can just grow a rather decent tash and a rather decent little chinny beard, which is turning whiter by the minute. But they wouldn't know that I even had one with my mask on. And then I reveal my big beard and moustache combo.
It's Colonel Sanders in the lift.
Yes, how would exactly. You feel? Yeah.
How would you feel about a seven-year-old boy in an elevator dangling from your face? How would you feel, Pete?
It'd be like the child catcher, but hair. A huge child catcher. Oh, off you go. Off you pop.
Oh, that's we have got a story this week that will excite you, Pete. I know you love all things monkey-based. Anything to do with monkeys, you love it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, correct.
So I don't know how you'll feel about this story, though, because you are a protector of the monkeys, which is a title that you've
earned. Bestowed upon me by a mayor.
Definitely. It's a worthy title. So basically, a lot of monkeys are all fun. Everyone loves monkeys. But when you're a farmer in rural Japan, along with the bears, you've got to worry about monkeys coming down and ripping your crops to shreds, right?
Mm.
And in a village in Fukui, which is kind of the other side of the Japanese Alps, opposed to Tokyo. It's kind of near Kanazawa, beautiful area. Cycled through it just before I met with you, actually, on journey across Japan. But lots of farmers, lots of crops. And one farm in particular was found itself being attacked by monkeys who were stealing the crops and terrorizing the farm. And three elderly women have purchased some BB guns and taken it upon themselves as the monkey busters to protect the farm and shoot back at any of the monkeys that attack their farms in a non-lethal manner, I like to think. Although there's a rather fantastic photo going around with these articles of these women, and they're all holding like various guns. And they look, I thought they were real guns at first. One of them's an M16, one of them's a 9mm pistol, and the other one's got like a shotgun. What do you think about this, Pete? Is this a good idea?
Japan do a lovely line in very realistic looking air guns. You see them in every kind of hard off or secondhand shop. Every pawn shop's got some really specific technical looking guns. They look very menacing. There's no like, you know, there's no bright orange here to indicate that it's just a starting gun or an air pistol. I went to a bar once where it was you could just drink and you can shoot a few air M16s and stuff. And I wasn't very good at it because I've never really shot a gun to any great extent, but it was a fascinating evening where I was just firing off these round and drinking
loads of
beer.
Was it an actual M16 or was it Airbnb? Airbnb?
It was
Airbnb.
Airbnb. Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to shoot actual guns in Japan, but it was an airsoft version of that. But they look really menacing. They look pretty cool. They look a bit like those, you know, those disgruntled people from that really posh area of, it wasn't Charlottesville, was it? And those two guys, those two gun-toting mom and pop guys who were on their doorstep pointing their guns at protesters. And didn't get into trouble inexplicably over in America a little while ago. They look a little bit like that, but they look like completely badass Charlie's Angels, but in sun hats.
In sun hats, yeah, they've got the sun hats. Yeah. Got some nice dresses going on there. To quote them, they said, "We won't let those monkeys damage our precious vegetables grown by the villagers." And apparently sometimes they're even backed by angry villagers with firecrackers going to the next level. Airsoft and crackers.
This is war.
It is a war. Don't go down that town dressed as a monkey anytime soon. Could be awkward and painful.
Don't go down on Halloween.
Don't go down Halloween. I'd love to go down there and make a video, though. Film their story. Go and find out what's going on.
Definitely.
I'm not sure how well that would go down, though. Like just some, it's all fun and games, but the idea of a monkey being shot by an airsoft gun is pretty sinister when you think about it. It's a bit to how I feel about that.
Yeah, they're just scaring them off. It doesn't say that they're a professional markswomen. So I think they're probably just scaring them off.
Yeah. We'll make that assumption.
But to see an older woman come out of a house and just fire a magnum into the forest is a bit disconcerting.
It is. I just love the title Monkey Busters. Who are you gonna call? Monkey Busters.
Monkey Scarers.
I recommend to you listening, ladies and gentlemen, to go and type in Monkey Busters Japan into Google and see the photo for yourselves. It is spectacular. And it's a nice story. Not so nice story this week, though. Japan's ninja museum got robbed by thieves in the middle of the night. A ninja museum. Can you believe it?
No.
The ninjas got robbed by some rascals in the town of Iga Town in Mie Prefecture, the birthplace of ninja tradition. Popular tourists. There's a museum called the Igoryu Ninja Museum, and I've never actually been there. I don't know if you've been, Pete, because you love ninjas and all things ninja based, don't you? Am I making that up? Have I made that up?
I was partial to a bit of a ninja back in the day when I was a kid. I like the video games Shinobi.
Shinobi. I kind of like the idea of ninjas. There's something cool about it, but every time I've gone to like a samurai or ninja event in Japan, it's always been a bit of a letdown, right? It's never quite as cool as you think. But I was actually invited down to this area, I think, to do a video on ninjas, but I declined. And now I feel a sense of guilt because they got burgled. They lost $10,000. Their safe got broken into in the ninja museum, and 150 kilogram safe was whisked off in the back of a van at 5:30 on the morning last Sunday. And it's quite sad because the Ninja Museum has been pretty heavily hit by, like a lot of places in rural Japan, no tourists at the moment. So it's kind of the worst possible timing. But the reason they broke into the safe now is it's the end of Obon Festival, right? The festival to celebrate the dead. And so probably doing a little bit better than usual. That's why they broke into the safe now. But yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? Poor old Ninja Museum.
It is.
Hopefully they get back.
It is.
Exact revenge.
And especially because, like, the ninja and shinobi, they're obviously like spies, and they're supposed to be like secure and, you know, light on their feet. But it looks like they got out ninjaed by some ninjas.
It's sad. Hopefully they'll find the culprits and exact ninja revenge, whatever that looks like.
Mm.
I must admit, I do quite want to throw. A shuriken. Is it shuriken? You know the
shuriken, yeah. I bought one of them at a Japanese shop. So I've got one in my bag in an old suitcase in the garage. I've got an old ninja star. Probably one day start throwing it around when I finally have exact my revenge on the world. The ninja star man.
Is it actually like dangerous? Is it really sharp and lethal?
It does feel very sharp. It's like a kind of, it feels like it's made of like slate, but it's actually made of like an iron, I want to say, like some kind of very heavy metal. It's a lovely bit. I mean, I'm not interested in swords or anything like that, but I was like, I've got to have a ninja star. It's what every kid bought in the 80s when they went on their school trips, but I never bought one because I was a good boy. But now I'm a bad boy.
Let it be known, if you break into Pete Donaldson's house, things won't go so smoothly. Get a shuriken in the face. God.
Damn right.
And though I haven't, I don't know the details, but Shinzo Abe seems to be going to the hospital a lot recently. The Prime Minister of Japan, there's talk of whether he's ill or got something seriously wrong. From what I understand, in 2007, when he was previously Prime Minister, he stepped down due to some stomach issues, I think diverticulitis, something quite serious.
Right.
And currently he keeps going to hospital, second hospital visit in 8 days this week. And there's talk of him potentially stepping down. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Quite a polarizing figure, old Shinzo Abe. He's been in power now for a long time. I think he's the longest serving Japanese Prime Minister. He's been around pretty much my entire time that I've been in Japan now. And whether you like him or not, hopefully he gets better. Hopefully he doesn't, nothing bad happens.
Well, you don't want it at this time of the year, and especially in the middle of a coronavirus epidemic, you do not need political instability, especially with everything that's kicking off in China and Korea and places like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
did we talk about that comfort women statue in Korea? I can't remember whether we spoke about that.
I don't know. There's a lot of comfort statues going on, isn't there?
So the comfort women of the war, World War II, in women who were enforced into prostitution to serve the Japanese soldiers, and the big bone of contention for like the best part of half a century, if not more, about the role that Japan played systemically in the rape of women, effectively, and obviously this is a big issue that Japan and Shinzo Abe do not want to really sort of deal with, and the Koreans are obviously a little bit, well, very annoyed. It's a real kind of it's a real big subject in Korean and Japanese relations, especially because they should really be banding together against, you know,
Absolutely.
The North Koreans or the Xi Jinping in China as well, and his influence in the region. But they're not friends at the moment, and one of the problems they have is this complete lack of Japan's their reluctance to admit that their role in that particular devastatingly awful bit of history. But the most recent statue that they made, some Korean artist had a model of a woman, and in front of it, Shinzo Abe, or someone who looks very like Shinzo Abe, kneeling down in reverent bow to this woman. And obviously, the Japanese are not best pleased with it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one pans out. But fair play. I think that's how statues should be used in 2020. It should be a thing that holds governments to account, etc.
I think the problem is Japan has apologised at various points throughout time, maybe in ways that weren't as sincere as they should have been. But when Shinzo Abe came into power, he actually kind of stepped back on a lot of the issues and sort of undid a lot of the work that previous prime ministers had done. And that is the problem. He's very much unrepentant, right? He's kind of undone a lot of that good work. So that's why he's not particularly beloved outside of Japan, certainly in Korea, South Korea. He's pretty hated for that reason. And he goes to the Yasukuni Shrine regularly, and which is a shrine that celebrates war criminals and whatnot. So, yes, he's a bit of a dicey figure. He's not particularly popular in Japan or overseas, even though he's the longest-serving prime minister. Impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, he's certainly very hawkish, let's say. His government is rather right-wing.
Get the monkey busters out. Sort them out.
Get the monkey busters out. They'll sort it out.
Get those airsoft guns.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Football's back and we are here to laugh about it.
Hellenius in the League Cup, he was trying to like defend with his hands and he yanked his shorts down.
Straight off, see you later.
Yeah. But Hellenius got the shot away, which I thought was very professional.
Yes. Whether it's players losing their pants or managers losing their shit.
And I thought about that when you could just hear Moyes shouting at Pablo Fornal. And then he just loses all sense of himself at the end when Fornal plays it over. And like, oh!
Yeah. That was the noise. Oh.
The Football Rambler here every day with new episodes covering the lighter side of football.
I walk past a trophy shop at the weekend that say we're only allowing one person in at a time. Nobody wants any fucking trophies, mate. Don't worry, but no one. There's nothing happening.
Also,
no one's a cheat.
Null and void. Your five-a-side league is null and void. Piss off.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He went through it, and all you hear is
"Shoot, Pablo! Shoot!
finish! Oh! Finish! Pablo!"
This was a Stakhanov production.
Right, we turn our attention now to the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
We have a message from Nick and Jen. Lovely to have you along, Nick and Jen. Hello, Chris and Pete. I've recently started listening to your podcast, and I love them. I was in Japan last January and had a fantastic time. I recently listened to one of your podcasts about arm wrestling, and I have my own story about this. My wife and I were in a bar in Akihabara, where you pay by the hour for all you can drink, Nomihodai. We were about 3 hours in and having a blast, as we were the only foreigners in this particular bar. The locals and bartenders seemed to be enjoying chatting with us and practicing English. One particular businessman kept coming over for some chats and gave me three of his business cards. The last time he came over, he suggested we arm wrestle and the winner pays the bill. I initially declined, but this man insisted, so I agreed and I managed to win. The man, true to his word, paid for our bill for the 3 hours, said go Canada, and proceeded to chug my drink, and off he went. It made for a good laugh and I was not upset at all, as it was free. Keep up the excellent work, you two. We look forward to the two podcasts every week. Hopefully we can come back next April. I like the losing an arm wrestling match, chugging someone's beer, and then just fucking off. Very enjoyable. Nick and Jen, great work.
Go Canada. I love that. Cheeky devil. we talked about this before, the old arm wrestling. It's a big thing in Japan. Every time I walk into a bar, I have to end up arm wrestling someone. Have you ever done it? Have you ever found yourself arm wrestling anyone at a bar?
No, I don't think so. No, I would probably be terrible at it, I imagine. A terrible idea for me, because it's not just about the arms. It's about the torso. I've not got a very good torso.
I've got a
strong core.
I was looking at the video from Osaka. Ooh. And in the video game bar, when I beat you at Bomberman, the highlight of Journey Across Japan, your arm looks pretty substantial. Your arm was huge. Oh. I was like, what has Pete been doing? That was 2 years ago.
I was trying. What? Yeah, what past Pete did been doing? And also, it was 2 years ago. I was just concentrating so hard on Bomberman that my arms started pulsating.
Naturally. But there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Next time you come to Japan, get your arms ready, because you will be arm wrestling someone in a bar somewhere, and they will be stealing your drink and disappearing into the streets of Akihabara. We've got one here from Alicia and Corey from the USA. It says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I love the podcast and the YouTube channel. I thought you might find this story funny. My husband and I took our first trip to Japan in October of last year. I speak only kindergarten level Japanese, and my husband speaks only a couple of words. We wanted to spend most of the time in the Japanese countryside, so we booked an Airbnb in Akyu Springs outside of Sendai. The host of the Airbnb spoke English and told us to take the bus from the train station to the Airbnb. Easier said than done, as the internet was spotty and we couldn't read a lot of the kanji on the bus schedule once we got off the train. A very nice man saw two confused-looking Americans and insisted he wanted to give us a ride to our destination, despite it being 20 miles away. That's crazy. I've never had this happen. All my years being here, it's always someone else. He spoke pretty good English and grabbed our bags, putting them in his car. I told him our destination. He said he knew where it was. On the way, he kept stopping and looking at his phone for directions. Oh, God. And we turned around several times. Then he said, I want to show you my house. This is when my husband and I thought we had definitely made a mistake and would be murdered in Akyu with no one the wiser. He pulled into his driveway and I was wondering where we could run. Then he simply said, this is it. Possibly sensing our hesitation or fear, he quickly backed out of the driveway and took us another 10 minutes up the road to the Airbnb. We thanked him and offered to pay for his gas. He politely refused and drove away. When I told the host what happened, he said this was normal in Japan. Although in America, this is what we tell our children to never do, aka get in a car with a stranger. My family all laughed nervously when we told them the story. Is this typical in your experience? Thank you for the great stories and advice. Cheers, Alicia and Corey from the USA. I mean, we've had quite a few stories over the years of our listeners who have got in a car with a stranger and been driven through Kyushu or Shikoku, right? But I've never done it, to my knowledge or memory. I don't think I've ever done it. Have you done anything like that, Pete, in your time in Japan?
No. I'm very much a, if I don't have my mobile phone with me, I am lost. so I make sure that I'm batteried up to the nines, quite frankly. But yeah, we do get a lot of those stories where people just go above and beyond, you know, taking up half the day of their own day to take somebody to where they need to be, and they're just really, really friendly, certainly out in the sticks.
Yeah, I mean, we had a story about a month or two back, didn't we, where one of our listeners was walking around a street and a guy just went, come in my house, and took him into his garage and did karaoke for like 2 hours. One of the best stories we've ever had, I think. So strangers are kind. Brilliant. In Japan, they are kind. And I've yet to have anyone drive me anywhere though. Never know.
No,
your luck.
Let's do some. I think we've probably spoken about this before, but is there a culture of you know, stand at the side of the road and hitchhiking?
I mean, I've know quite a few people that have done it. My friend Regan tried to do it once. I think he stood at the side of a highway in Nagoya for like a day and nobody stopped. But the trick, from what I understand, the trick is to stand at a service station and hold a sign, right, and hopefully eventually a lorry driver or a nice family will pick you up. But I've heard quite a lot of people do it. It's just not my kind of thing. I just imagine hitchhiking,
I don't like
to be
in a position.
Awkward. Well, yeah, exactly. You feel like a burden, yeah, right? Just feel awkward, I think. Mm. But no, give it a try. And if any of you guys listening have ever done hitchhiking in Japan, I'd be keen to hear some stories on the subject, to be honest. But well done, Alicia and Corey. And I'm glad you arrived at your destination intact. And I wonder if that was the guy's house, given that he seemed to not know where he was going. And you just turned up and was like, this is my house. Random house.
That's why I didn't get in the house. You went, it's a house. It's a Uchi.
Definitely.
Very
stuff.
Enjoyable. We got a final message. It comes from Katie, the lesser spotted Katie, spelt with a C. Fantastic. Dear Chris and Pete, which is spelt with a K, I'm a big fan of the podcast and the YouTube channel as well. My partner and I visited Japan from Toronto in August of 2019, and we had a fun encounter I thought I'd share with you all. We were in the Omiyo de Yokocho scavenging for dinner and found ourselves in a tiny place with about 12 chairs and a single bar. Up to that point, we'd been able to order by pointing at menus or hovering our translation app over ramen machines, etc. However, at this spot, there were vague photos of the food along at the top of the wall with no text whatsoever. Yes, we ordered beers, since we learned that useful phrase immediately upon landing, and then sat confused about what to order. Four drunk men in their late 20s were sitting next to us, and I could sense their growing interest in our plight. Finally, the man closest to us started gesturing wildly to his plates and asked us to try his food. He then ordered us the same dishes. It was delicious and so kind. We spoke through gestures and typing through Google Translate for the remainder of the night. One of the men revealed that he was a pantomime, or certainly somebody who worked in pantomime, and he had a suitcase of props, costumes, etc. He offered me a yukata, but one of his friends got offended because it was a men's yukata. They made my partner try it on and asked him to keep it. All of a sudden, Pantoman started yelling in English, "Now the magic happens! At midnight! Magic!" And all of a sudden, they disappeared into the night. My partner hasn't worn the yukata yet, but I hope that when he does break it out, those four magic men will be conjured to the streets of Toronto for more tomfoolery. Now the magic happens at midnight. Magic! Good old Panto Man. Very enjoyable.
What is going on there? That is the best story, yes, I've heard from Omui de Yokocho. It means Memory Alley. And it's you might have been there, Pete, without knowing it. It's down the west exit of Shinjuku Station. There's like a maze of alleyways, little restaurants and bars.
Rings
it's
a
pretty
bell.
Cool.
Rings
Very
a bell.
Cool.
Yeah, rings a bell.
And everyone always films down there. I've been down there a few times, but now you know. If you go down there, you can meet Panto Man, get a free yukata.
Love that guy.
What a legend to hand over. Like a yukata. That's quite Usually. Impressive. Unless it's a cheap one.
Hugely.
Probably like $20. Lovely stuff.
Yeah, something like that.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days to do it all over again, folks. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days and we'll see you on Sunday. Have a good one.
Peace out.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.